before I go back to your calls on that budget, we just want a little diversion, fly west across the Atlantic to the USA, where Simon Marks, the LBC's Washington correspondent, is watching the latest instalments of a train crash in US politics, Simon. It is just absolutely incredible.
It's an all-day, 24-hour train crash, Kevin. You should try covering it.
No, well, I'm glad you're doing it and not me, because you know, it must be like trying to nail a blancmange to the wall. This, but I don't know where do we start? Should we start with the Pentagon accidentally retweeting calls for Donald Trump to resign?
Yes, absolutely marvellous. The Pentagon having to apologise and say that a mistake by someone who was in charge of the Pentagon's Twitter account led to the official Pentagon account retweeting something that had been put out by an activist, in which the activist was calling for the resignation of a large number of people, including President Donald Trump. And the Pentagon says this was all done in error, and they are apologetic about it, and they've deleted the retweet. But this does raise an interesting question, a question that first surfaced just a few days ago. Do you remember that Donald Trump's Twitter account tragically was taken offline for 11 minutes.
Only 11 minutes. Only that was 11 the tragedy. Minutes. It was only 11.
We had to live without it for 11 minutes. And that was the result of action that was blamed on a rogue employee at Twitter. A Twitter employee on his or her last day of employment at the company, who decided that it would be quite fun to play around with President Trump's Twitter account. Now, all of this does raise a pretty serious national security issue. If an employee at the Pentagon can put out a tweet calling for Donald Trump's resignation, if a rogue employee at Twitter can take down Donald Trump's Twitter account, how do we know that a more serious violation involving Twitter and, say, an announcement that the United States was now declaring war on North Korea, for example, could not occur? There are some growing concerns about the security, not just of the president's Twitter account, but the running of Twitter accounts throughout the US government, lest anything is said on Twitter that could be open to such dramatic misinterpretation by, say, the government of North Korea or any other government around the world, that it suddenly plunges us all into an even deeper national security crisis than the one that we have already witnessed on the Korean Peninsula. So pretty big issue, that one, for Twitter and for the government departments that use it.
And just when you think it can't get any worse, and that is pretty bad, we have Jared Kushner, who is Donald Trump's son-in-law and an advisor in the White House, a very senior advisor. Mm. Actually withheld WikiLeaks and Russian emails.
Well, he's in a whole heap of trouble, Kevin, and he's been in a whole heap of trouble for a while, because remember, this is Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, married to Ivanka Trump, who lied on his security disclosure forms on numerous occasions about the nature of conversations and interactions that he had had with foreign government officials, including Russian government officials, and he kept having to revise those security disclosure forms. Lying on one of those forms is a felony here in the United States, and he could be prosecuted for it. Well, now it's apparent that Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, who of course is looking into allegations of collusion between Donald Trump's campaign team last year and the Russian government during the presidential election, Robert Mueller has now subpoenaed, that means he's forcing Jared Kushner and his lawyers to turn over additional documentation to the special prosecutor's office that they have realized Mr. Kushner did not initially turn over as he was required to do. And what's going on here is that Robert Mueller's inquiry keeps expanding. He keeps interviewing more and more people. This week he interviewed the president's director of communications, Hope Hicks. He keeps reviewing a growing pile of documents and emails. And if you, as you go through that stack of emails, discover that, let's say, for example, Donald Trump Jr. at some point sent Jared Kushner an email relating to contacts that he had had, Donald Trump Jr. had had with WikiLeaks, but that Jared Kushner then had not equally sent a copy of that email into the committee to the special prosecutor's office. That leads Robert Mueller to conclude that Jared Kushner may have been withholding documents. So Mr. Kushner now is being ordered to hand over additional documents because Robert Mueller's office has concluded that what he has previously handed over was incomplete. And it's reported here that all of this has to do with communications relating to attempts to establish back-channel communications between Donald Trump's election campaign team and the Russians last year. Still, of course, completely possible that none of this rises to the level of collusion, but it does start washing ever closer to Donald Trump when you get his own son-in-law in a deeper degree of difficulty with Robert Mueller than he's been in before.
And it's absolutely serious, absolutely murky. So how much of a brass neck does a Donald Trump, who is accused of being a sexual predator by so many women, and he always says they're lying, how much brass neck does it take for him to now attack a senator, Al Franken, a Democrat, different party, not a Republican like Trump, to attack him over, admittedly, he's admitted Al Franken that he was a groper and he's apologised, but how much brass neck is it for Trump to go on that and start tweeting about that and attacking him when everything else is happening around around the president himself?
Well, as very few people on this side of the Atlantic would say, it demonstrates more front than Harrods, doesn't it? I mean, it is absolutely astonishing to see Donald Trump on Twitter laying in to Senator Al Franken, the comedian who became senator for the Democrats from Minnesota following these allegations and photographic evidence that Al Franken misbehaved during a visit to Afghanistan, was groping a radio personality from San Francisco, who was on the same USO tour to entertain the troops with him. Donald Trump tears into Al Franken on Twitter. However, this is the same Donald Trump whose White House insists that every single woman who has complained about the president's predatory behavior and harassment before, of course, he was president of the United States, every single woman is lying. This is the same President Trump who still hasn't completely distanced himself from Roy Moore, the Republican's candidate for the U.S. Senate down in Alabama, who faces a wide array of accusations relating to contacts that he had with underage women 20 and 30 years ago. So Donald Trump has nothing really to say about Roy Moore. All the women who have accused Donald Trump of abuse and harassment, they're all liars. But this one woman who has accused Al Franken of groping her, and Al Franken has now apologised to the woman, said it was a joke that went wrong. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But Donald Trump is more than ready to lay into Al Franken, who, of course, is not from his political party, but from the opposition Democratic Party. That's quite a move.
Right, thank you very much, Simon. That's Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. And Trump is killing satire. He's absolutely killing satire here. You couldn't make it up, and we don't have to.